Our speaker tonight, I've gotten to know well. Unfortunately, she's moving from Texas to Louisiana, but you know, everybody's not perfect, but she's close. And it's really a pleasure tonight to introduce and to hear from Rossi. Rossi, it's all yours.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Let me set this timer, but be free to give me a 5-minute warning. That would be great. Okay. Well, wow. First of all, welcome, Andrew. Wow, your first meeting. This is fantastic. So go to lots of meetings. They're all different. You'll hear all kind of wonderful things and know that you'll find your experiences is so many like all of ours, and we welcome you. I want to start with, I'm Rossi, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Thanks. I hate to not hear that response, but I'm stealing all your wonderful faces, and that's very important to me. Well, I want to qualify first. I know a lot of you here, some faces I've seen just very recently, and some not for a long time. I want to qualify first in that I have been in the program. I first got to the program approximately 40 years ago. I currently have 39 years of abstinence. I am maintaining a 65-pound weight release, and I came into OA in Phoenix, Arizona. I just want to say a little bit about that and what it was like is that I came in. I know a lot of you have heard my story, and we always say different things in our talks, but that when I came in, the group I came into, the one I gravitated toward then was called HOW, Honesty, Open-Mindedness, and Willingness. I understand there's HOW groups now, but they're a little different, and I'm not sure everything that they do now. But what I came into was gray sheet, a structure of 3 phone calls a day, 5 meetings a week, call your sponsor at least for the first 30 days with reading and writing, and then go from there, which was a lot of still having the sponsor, continuing to read and write, and then move through the 12 steps. So the first year, because I did do a gray sheet plan, which was very rigid and strict, I did lose my 50 pounds the first year. And then it took about 10 more years to lose those last 10 pounds because I had to learn about activity and exercise and weightlifting and things like that. And then I also want to say that here I am 39 years later, and I can tell you that I am a moderate eater. I could only sustain that gray sheet because it is not moderation for a short period of time. And as I began to grow in the steps and had a higher power and found my life, that I learned I could learn to moderate eat. But that took a long time because, you know, the issue was food. I mean, the issue is food, and all of my attitudes around food and what it did for me and how that had to change over time from being a comfort, a friend, a release, a soother, to just its proper place in my life, which is for only the amount that I need to sustain a normal weight and for nutrition. And old habits die hard. So it takes a while, but where else you're going to go? I don't know about many of you, but by the time I got here, I had tried everything. So I do want to talk a little bit about that here. Yes, well, I came into Phoenix, right? And then when I began to find my life and with steps 2 and 3, and those of you, most of you are in a long time, that I began to find a higher power and find myself and began to live my own life, that I did move into other states. I moved, Phoenix, and then California and New Jersey and Texas, Louisiana, Illinois. So, I mean, that just means, you know, God is everywhere and the program is everywhere. And we didn't even have Zoom then. So that all this is possible, no matter what your life is, this can work for you. So, you know, I've spoken, sometimes go long periods of time. By the way, thanks for asking me again, Joe. I know it's been over a year, and I go periods of time, it's funny, of not speaking in meetings, and then just a rash of being asked, and it's been great. And I always want to speak to the newcomer, so there's a relatability. And you know, we're never cured. I never left in 39 years. I never wanted to, because this is a beautiful place to be, and it was everything that I was looking for. But my long timer experience, I can tell you, was far more enriching and far more fun than my newcomer experience was. Just because, I mean, not only am I'm more comfortable in my own body, but I've learned myself. I have a spirituality in my life. I understand my emotional life on the inside. And I did have to make a couple of notes before the meeting so that I wouldn't lose my train of thought. And it's a part of writing. And then I'm reflecting on my newcomer experience. And here I am this many years later. And I remember, though, the main thing, I mean, when I was a newcomer, though, I was very excited because I had tried so many things. I had been to therapy. I'd been to hypnotist. I had been church shopping. I was looking for how to do life manual. You know, a lot of who we are is what we grew up with. And I had older parents. I mean, my brother was already 18 when I was born, same parents. I was an accident, but I know I was wanted. And that made a big difference to me later on when I did family of origin work. So I had older parents and, you know, they were nice people. They were good people, but because they were older, you know, the house was quiet and I was really like an only child and I didn't have the interaction of other children. So, you know, I had craved family. I had craved, learning from others in that way. And I did not have a close relationship with my mother. I mean, like a lot of us too. I mean, she grew up in a time that was very stoic. They were very stoic. They didn't talk about their feelings. You know, you just do your job. You just go to work. You know, you just come home. And see, that didn't really appeal to me. I thought there had to be something different out there. So when I found y'all, I was very excited. I had already looked around and I didn't find a home in churches, like I said, or self-help books. I had already read them all. And see, when I look back at myself, I was 27 when I came in, but I see myself as a young person. Like, I know I lost 10 years in there somewhere, because from when I was in high school and launching out into the world, you know, that pressure of what are you going to be? You know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to be? I was lost. And I mean, I had jobs. It was really difficult for me. I dabbled in college. I love school. I love learning. But I struggled to get through the first 2 years. And then I couldn't find a goal or a direction. A lot of my younger life, I could call it confusion. I just, you know, couldn't make a decision, didn't know which path to take, afraid to take a certain path, not knowing like I do now. If I take one and I go to a dead end, well, you just get to another path. You know, no one taught me all this and all these life lessons, everything that I have and know today, the program taught me. So I was a newcomer. I was excited. I wanted what you guys have. I was willing to follow directions. I mean, to me, it made common sense, steps two and three, that there was something out there that was going to guide me, I could choose it. I could choose this higher power, which to me was a synonym for spirituality. And I liked that because I had church shopped, and not to offend anyone, if you have a religion that works for you, that's awesome. But I tried religions, and to me, it was so much man-made, so that if I was going to find the spirituality and higher power of my understanding, well, that could work too. And things began to make sense as I began to bond with all of you, begin to lose weight, find a structure in my day by going to meetings and making phone calls. And then just to compare that newcomer experience to my long-timer experience, when we say it gets better, well, of course it gets better. I mean, it gets easier because I've just been practicing the way of life for a longer period of time. It does become very natural. And, you know, even the healing in the family of origin work to go to therapy, you know, those things that are buried deep, they just don't pop up because you want them to. It takes some time, you know, through the steps and, you know, going around the onion and peeling it a few times. And so often they come out when they want to come out. And I mean, recently I just had a couple of really early life memories unlock that just will come in an epiphany, because now my psyche, my spirit, you know, my higher power guides me, and my psyche is more just willing to reveal these things, and they don't come in just big, huge ways. I just, I'll have a memory. It's like, oh, that makes sense. And it's just one more thing that's healed. So let's see. For me, you know, it was really a confused life and feeling out of place and disconnected to people. Whereas now, I mean, that is the absolute opposite. I mean, I have a world full of people that I'm connected to. And every day when I seek God's will in my life, I have an absolute a direction that can be changed at any time, but I feel sure-footed in it. Also, that I'm, you know, I work with lots of people, and it's amazing to me. You know, it makes me wonder why I was ready to never leave. I mean, some people, they come and they leave and they come back, or they come and they struggle, you know, for a long, long time. And I mean, I hope nobody ever leaves, but I think the difference is I just never questioned it. I just followed directions, and it made sense to me because I had done everything that I knew to do. And the whole concept is, I mean, we're smart. I mean, we're smart people overall. I mean, read the chapter of the Big Book about two employers. I mean, we're hard workers, and it made sense to me that if I could have done it, I would have already done it. If I could manage my food, lose weight, keep it off, be happy, understand life, I would have already done it. Therefore, if I can't do that, I need a higher power. So that just made sense to me. So what happened was, in all the my therapy and seeking, I did go to a therapist. And of course, I talked a lot about this stuff. I mean, I knew it wasn't just my weight. I knew it was my behavior with eating. It was the never feeling full, never having enough, all of that. And thank God, she was the one who said to me, go to Overeaters Anonymous, go to 5 meetings, and if you think you still need me, then come back to me. I mean, she was willing to give up a client because she knew enough about the 12-step programs that this was probably going to work for me. So, and that's exactly what I did. I mean, I was home when I got here, and I knew it was all I needed. And maybe a year after that, I did go back to see her and thank her so much. And then even at a 10-year anniversary, I would go back and see her again. So when I think back on myself at 27 coming in, I mean, because at 27, you know, I could have been married, divorced, and already had a 10-year-old, you know, but I look at myself at 27 coming in as this little young person because I was so immature and closed off. But I just did everything that you guys told me to do. And pretty soon, really, there was a first thing that happened. You know, I would carry the 4 todays of the daily readers in my pockets all day long at work. And I would, every hour, I'd have to go read them. And any crisis, I'd have to call my sponsor or someone else because I had nothing within myself to make my own decisions. I was so riddled with fear and confusion that I was calling everybody all the time with, what should I do? What should I do? Well, in looking back, it was really about 10 years in that I began to trust God, trust myself, and get some firm footing under myself. And just the relief of not having to call everybody for every little thing, that was what the intuition of a higher power, I began to feel it, I began to hear it, I began to see it, and just about how I felt about myself. And I thought, oh, I don't have to call. Oh, I know the next thing I could do. And I mean, that's a line in our book, you know, when our own house is in order, the answers will come. And I began to get some calm about 10 years in. So when I talk about this, you know, 39 years and 10 years in, and if you want what we have, I mean, buckle up, strap in, because, you know, it's a ride. It's a great ride, but it, you know, it takes time. It does take time. And I was told when I came in, you know, I was told that. People told me that when I came in. It does take time. Don't leave. Be patient. When I came in, like I said, I was 27. They said, look, it took you 27 years of learning what you learned to get here. Give yourself a chance. Give yourself some years to unlearn and relearn a way of living that is going to serve you well. So, and they would say, where else are you going to go? Did you try everything? If you didn't try everything, go try it. But where else are you going to go? So buckle up. If you buckle up and you're with us here, we will hold your hand every step of the way. I really have fond memories of those early years like that. I mean, myself, I was very confused and a jumble, but I think about all those people in those rooms, I still see it very, very clearly. So there was everything. I mean, there was between the tools, the steps, and therapy. And then even after OA, I did continue in therapy. I chose someone who was in recovery, and because I mean that just made perfect sense to me, and that would be all I needed. And I do absolutely find this to be true, but I had to do it. I had to do the work, and I mean there is a lot of work, and that's okay. I had to seek, I had to feel, I had to cry, I had to learn what didn't work, and, you know, learn a new way of approaching old, those old life habits that die hard. So during that time too, because I mean, I went to way more than one meeting a day in the early days because really I had nothing going on in my life. And I did a zillions of closed AA meetings. And at that time, CODA was starting. CODA was Codependencies Anonymous. And what I learned from that is I was going to repeat my family of origin unless I learned what that was and make different choices. And for that reason, well, until I found myself, I didn't want to marry and drag someone else through any of my miseries. And I did wait. I waited until I was 40, till I married. And that is just really the sweetest story, because he and I had met about 20 years earlier in 12-step rooms, and we always kept in touch, but it just wasn't the right time for us. And one day when I just really began to see, you know, my future, I gained confidence in my work. I knew that I could be honest and open-minded and be healthy in a relationship. And it just the answer came clear to me that he and I, we were on opposite ends of this spectrum. You know, I was at that point, I was like all I was Neiman Marcus and Paris and high fashion and all that. And he's, you know, in the Peace Corps. I mean, you know, I mean, we were at different ends of the living spectrum. And what I saw over the course of 20 years is I had come down off of that, and he had gotten more into like regular living and out of the boonies in South America or whatever he was living. And I said, wow, it looks like we're meant to be. You know, let's get together to talk about this. Anyway, it was just amazing to know someone but not be together for all those years. And we did marry, and it was just really an amazing experience. And we both had 12-step background and all that. And 1 year later, he died of cancer. So that there, to then, to this day, that was probably the biggest test in my life. And I had enough years under me then. I mean, food wasn't going to be my answer. And I had everything I know to do to get through that. And God and I handled it absolutely beautifully. At that time, we were temporarily living in New Jersey. I didn't know anybody except his cantankerous family, and they hardly knew me from anybody. And we were only going to be there for another year. And I had nothing or no one there except my job, which that was always a lifeline for me. I had transferred there, and then I transferred out of there. But they were just so great with me. But again, I read all the books. I learned what healthy things there are to do. Don't make, you know, big moves in the first year after a traumatic thing. Well, that happened. He passed in February, and I couldn't go through a winter in New Jersey, you know, having lived in California and Arizona all my life. So it couldn't be a year, but I took a long vision of being a very constructive way to do that with God's help, just like what I learned here. You know, there's a scaffolding for the week, the calls, the meetings. Then I had to do my homework and where I was going to go next. I had no reason to stay there, what I was going to do next, how I was going to move, where I was going to transfer with my work and all that. Anyway, I did do that before the next winter hit. So it was only like 6 months, but I did everything, you know, just logistically and systematically, and praying every day. And what is my next step to be? And, you know, would often go to work. And I, because they gave you enough leave with my company, if your husband died or if your great grand sixth time removed uncle left, I had something like, or died, I had something like, you know, 3 weeks of leave or something insane like that. And I'd go to work and I'd have to just excuse myself and take a break and just go cry, you know, in the stock room for a while and come back and show up. And anyway, I just say that because life happens and we don't have to overread about it. I could learn about it. God didn't take my first husband from me. Cancer did. God was there to comfort me and guide me as to the next step and understand that it had nothing to do with me. Thank God I've got the wonderful gift of, I knew him for 20 years and we were married for at least a year, and that I really had him and everyone was right. We were supposed to be together. And that if I looked at the big picture and the big answer, that I was there for him and he wasn't leaving me. He had something else he had to do. He had to go into his next steps. So I found a way to understand it and accept it and find peace with it. Just because I love God and I know I'm going to be comforted and that there is a next step. So I did move. I transferred with my company to Houston. And there I just worked and healed for 4 years. And then I met my current husband. And now we've been married, or we've been together, I guess. We've been married something like, 14, something like that. I've known each other 17, something like that. And that whole experience there, why I dwell so much on it, is because, yes, you know, life has its tragedies. But I know today, that my first husband sent me my second husband. I know that he did. I just know that he did from out there in the universe, because there's just too many things that have happened that it's like, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. 1 second. Averting disaster. Sorry about that. There's just too many things that have happened that, you know, I mean, there's no perfect person out there, but there's people that are perfect for us. And my first husband was perfect for me. And my second husband is perfect for me. And they're not perfect people. But you know, both of my husbands have a great sense of humor, and I just could not, I cannot deny that anything that I wish that my first husband had, my second husband has. So God and his infinite wisdom, and that John would direct me to Tom, because any of those things that I missed, I have with my second husband. And that's just one of the many, many miracles, or perhaps it's my perspective and the way I look at it and how it works. But that's just been absolutely amazing. And whatever I didn't have with him then, I have now. And more of the promises have come true. So to the now. So let's talk about the now. I mean, sponsorship is different. Everything's different. I mean, that my food's different because my food's better because I learned about food. I mean, my body is healthy because I take care of it in every way that medicine says to, and health and exercise says to. I mean, emotionally, the recovery of that is that I even had an emotional life, because for me, I was so frozen up after I saw, you know, my daddy fell over and had a heart attack when I was 5 years old. And I realized then that was when I froze up my feelings. And for me, recovery has been a process of thawing out, that I've thawed out my feeling. It's like THAWED, that I've thawed out, not thought them out, but that I could feel them and discover them and voice them and not be afraid to feel them. I used to be just so, I was never angry because I stuffed all my anger. I would then when, oh, I said, oh, you've got to express your anger. I was like, well, I'm not angry about anything. And then I thought, oh, well, yeah, sure. Okay. I could be angry about this and angry about that. And I was so afraid then to express anger that I was going to break my arm hitting the wall or something like that. And it was never anything like that. I mean, I wasn't an angry person. I wasn't a hateful person. I was just very lost and confused and didn't have any direction for life. So I would sponsor just dozens of girls, you know, get calls and their food. And today I get sent long timers. I mean, outside of one young, lovely young lady. I mean, I do get long timers, and it's more about life issues rather than just food. A lot of times, you know, there's no more talk about food because we all just eat what we're supposed to have. You know, we have our daily bread or our daily food. We don't have to pack on the pounds, and we're not overeating for the wrong reasons, or not overeating at all. And I did all the exercises, there are to do for emotional health, you know, loving myself and emotional healing and, you know, not being codependent and all this stuff. I mean, I've done all that. I mean, it's a wonderful interest of mine. I mean, it's a great college of self-help and not redesigning yourself, but finding your true self. I mean, the way I see it, when I took my first compulsive bite and I was so frozen to my feelings and just lost out there, because I remember not being a foodaholic. And I remember when I became a foodaholic. I mean, there's a story to that when I was in high school and all of a sudden food, particularly, you know, very refined sugars and syrups just took me by the guts and drove me. And I remember when I didn't have that feeling. And now, I mean, there isn't anything really, you know, being a moderate eater now, there's not anything that, yeah, I'm gonna use a tool. I'm gonna take steps before I'm ever going to fall in the food, because it's not going to fix anything. I know that now, but I'm never going to get removed enough from a higher power or from all of you to even entertain that. I mean, I never want to fall that far down. And so I work at this every day. But I mean, every morning when I get up, I mean, it's pretty simple. Well, especially in this world of COVID and around here, everybody's got some sort of flu and RSV and type A and meta pneumonia virus. Wow. I mean, so far, I haven't had any of that. And it could still happen. But every day that I wake up and I'm not sick, and I remember who I am and what I'm powerless over. And I do the 1, 2, 3, God, and I know you're there. It's like one of the first things I do. I'm powerless over this, that, and the other. I know I got to take care of me. God, I know you're there. It's like one of my very first thoughts. Like, I don't even want to walk very far out of my bedroom before I put God in my hand and walk with me. And God, today, this day is yours. And I look in the mirror and I look for God in my own eyes. And if I give my own self a smile, then it just gets my day going and off we go and just do the next thing. And what's God's will in my life? Well, it's that it can be that simple just early in the morning. It's really hard to say, gosh, it's just easy. It's just so simple. You just do it, because I realize that after working this so hard, but gently for all these years, that it has become easy, but I'm no longer burdened by all those things that used to run me. And so, I mean, it does get easier. I suppose my biggest message is, of course, never leave, never give up. Of course it does get better, and you can read the promises. You can look at all of our faces, and if you know we're in a normal sized body and we're here and you know we have successful lives and we're not anything like we used to be, whether it was hateful or angry or confused, and we're this way now, and it's worked for hundreds of thousands of alcoholics, that it's going to work for little old me. I can tell you, I was reborn. I was reborn because I and all of you, we re-raised me. And those things that I got, you know, from my mother, I got from osmosis because we didn't have a close relationship, but I could give them back to her. They were her things that she put on me because she didn't know how to do anything else. And I could forgive her. I could love her more, and that she's passed away now. I feel that she sees me clearly now and understands me, and she never could. And I gave those things back to her, and I, with all of you, could re-raise me. And I did want to stay long enough in the program to practice, you know, enough to say that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, not just a human being having a spiritual experience, that I do feel more connected to the universe and the powers to guide me. And I want to just read a couple of short things from two of the stories in the big book in the back that kind of summarize this maybe a little bit. I tried to put my notes together today, but for some reason I was still a little nervous. It's such a late meeting for me. Okay. In, of course, we all know the wonderful, one of our best favorite stories is Freedom from Bondage in the back of the book. But I just want to say at the, it's actually the last paragraph when the last sentence to the last paragraph and the last paragraph. Okay, two things. So the only freedom a human being can ever know is doing what you ought to do because you want to do it. This great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replaced it with love. And I will say for me that my experience here released me from the bondage of confusion and replaced it with understanding is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in Overeaters Anonymous, and everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that it was just what I wanted all the time. And then one other thing in the next story, which is also one of my favorites. So the next story, it's called To Handle Sobriety, in the edition I have anyway. On page 559, this is another way to summarize what this is about here. As we clean out the garbage from our minds through the fourth and fifth steps of our recovery program, we learn how to level out the emotional swings that got us into trouble, both when we were up and when we were down. we are taught to differentiate between our wants, which were never satisfied, and our needs, which are always provided for. We cast off the burdens of the past and anxieties of the future as we begin to live in the present, one day at a time, just for today. We are granted the serenity to accept the things we cannot change and thus lose our quickness to anger and our sensitivity to criticism. Above all, we reject fantasizing about who we might want to be or how things could be and get to work and accept reality. So my closing sentence on that is I never wanted to be boring. So when my mother would suggest moderating and not eating the whole cookie bag, I said, well, I had no idea what moderation meant. And I didn't know there was tomorrow was another day to have the other half of the bag of the cookies. I didn't know that I had to do it all now. And today there's a perspective. And to have patience, to have just to take today's portion and not have to grab tomorrow's and worry about yesterday's is just the, it sounds so trite, but when you are living it, and that's the only way to explain it, that's
be that right.